Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. I want to take a moment to glorify the name of Jesus above every other name. This morning we've gathered to lift up and exalt one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. This church is not about me. It is not about a band. It's not even about a church. It's about the one who is high and lifted up, Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and he can transform your life. I can't do much for you, but he can do more in 1 second than we could do in a lifetime. Anybody believe what I'm saying? It's all about Jesus. So all the glory and all the honor belongs to him. This morning, we are beginning a brand new series, and over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about a series called I Am. This is a series that is designed to help you unfold and unpack your God-given purpose, your identity. I've met so many people in life that wander through life aimlessly, and they're unsure of who they are, uncertain of who God has called them and created them to be. And I want you to know this morning that when God breathed the breath of life into you, he saw your end from the beginning. He created you with a purpose. You have an identity. You have a destiny that is unique to you. And God wants to move through you into the earth in a mighty and a dramatic way. And so I believe that this series is going to be used by God to bring confidence into your life, to bring clarity into your life so that you can live out the mission that Jesus has called you to live. And this morning we are going to begin by examining the life of Moses. Before I read Exodus chapter 3, I want to put this passage in context for you because it's vitally important that you see it properly in order for us to proceed any further. As we pick up in Exodus chapter 3, you need to understand that this man named Moses was born a Hebrew, but he was raised an Egyptian. At the time of Moses' birth, the Hebrews were in slavery in the land of Egypt for nearly 400 years. All the generations previous to him, his father, his grandfather, and great-grandfather, all of them were slaves under the harsh oppression of Pharaoh in Egypt. And as they were there, the Pharaoh issued a mandate that all newborn male children of the Hebrews would be annihilated and put to death for fear that the Hebrews would outnumber the Egyptians in strength and in power. And so Moses is born into the Hebrew family, and his mother puts him in a basket and pushes it down the Nile River. The Bible says that Moses, his name literally means to be drawn out. And Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water. She drew him out of the Nile, and she raised him in the palace of Pharaoh. Now, it's important for us when we look at this story, it sounds poetic, it seems really nice and powerful, and it is a good story, but it's important for you to see the humanity of Moses in this. This is a man who doesn't fit in anywhere. He was born a Hebrew, but he was raised in the palace of Egypt. If you talk about a struggle, a conflict within for his true identity, it is found in the person of Moses. He didn't fit in with the Hebrews because he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And he really didn't fit in Egypt because he had Hebrew blood coursing through his veins. Moses didn't fit in anywhere. There was a conflict within his identity. And as we see the life of Moses unfold, we see that at the age of 40, Moses kills an Egyptian slave driver as he oppresses a Hebrew slave. In his anger and in his rage, he lashes out and kills this Egyptian slave driver, causing Moses to flee into exile into the remote wilderness of Sinai's peninsula. And for 40 years, 40 more years, Moses is wandering aimlessly in Sinai's wilderness. And this is where we pick up in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. There's a burning bush there, and the voice of God begins to speak to Moses. Moses has an encounter with God right here in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. This is the sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and I tell them that the God of your ancestors sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? And what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered through all generations. And that's all I want to read from Exodus chapter 3. Now, as we look at this text, I want to unpack it here. And how many of you guys know that the Bible is alive? How many of you believe the Bible is alive? It's teeming with life. You know, we read it and sometimes we just glaze over like it's this historical text that's so distant and far away. But I would say to you that the Bible is abundant. It's teeming with life and it's got messages on display right in front of your eyes. One thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't paint out these biblical characters to be some untouchable superhero, magnificent people who never did anything wrong. When we pick up in Exodus 3, we see Moses is nearly 80 years old as he stands in the wilderness and he has an encounter with God, and God calls him. He says, Moses, I'm going to use you and I'm going to send you back to Pharaoh and you're going to deliver my people out of Egypt. And not only that, but you are going to lead my people into the land of their promise. And Moses doesn't respond, all right, this is awesome, this is what I've been waiting for. No, Moses is like, what? Wait, me? Are you sure? Moses responds in the most human way possible. He says, who am I to stand before Pharaoh? Who am I to stand before kings? Who am I to lead an entire nation? God, I can't speak clearly. I'm not a leader. I've not been educated to do this. I'm not even a Hebrew. I don't fit in with them. God, I hear that you're calling me to greatness, but all I can see in my life is weakness. I know you have more for me than what I've experienced right now, but Father, I can't believe that you could use somebody like me. In Exodus 3, we see the weakness of Moses on display. His insecurities are prevalent. His doubt has permeated his soul. And even Moses moves into an apathetic state of mind, saying, God, use somebody else, anybody else but me. What Moses was really saying is he was verbalizing his insecurities that were deep within him. He was really saying to God, I'm not important enough to stand before Pharaoh. I'm really not a leader. I'm a sinner, God. Don't you remember that I'm the one who murdered the Egyptian? I'm a sinner. I have fault in me. Who am I, God, that you could use me? Who am I to stand before your people? The truth is, we can all relate with Moses. Every one of you, no matter where you come from or what line of work you're in or where you go to school, every one of us can identify with Moses in his insecurities. There have been times in my life where I've second-guessed my abilities. I've second-guessed my worth. I've magnified my weaknesses and focused on my insecurities. Anybody ever identify with Moses? You know that God's called you to do something great, but all you can see is your weakness. Anybody, can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know God has more for you, but all you can see is your sin. All you can see is your past. And there's a disconnect between what God has called you to and where you are right now. And I would dare to believe that the Holy Spirit has sent me here on assignment today to speak into the lives of the people who are asking themselves the same question that Moses asked in Exodus. Who am I, God, that you would be mindful of me? Who am I that you would use me? Who am I to be a leader? Who am I to be forgiven and loved and accepted? Who am I to start a business, to be an influencer in my world? God, who am I that you would be mindful of me? Well, this morning I've come to say to you that if you're asking yourself the same question Moses asked God, who am I, who am I, who am I? You're asking the wrong question. Because every time, now hear me, every time Moses in Exodus said, who am I that you would use me? Who am I to stand before Pharaoh? Who am I to be a leader? Every time Moses asked, who am I? God responded with an I am, with an I am. It's, in other words, Moses, it's not about you. It's never been about you. It's not about your weaknesses. It's about God. It's not about your insecurities. It's about my strength. We're asking the wrong question when we're trying to understand who we are. We're asking, who am I? And that's the wrong question. The question we ought to be asking is, who are you? Because when we understand him, it unlocks our own identity. If you're thankful and you believe what I'm saying, I just wish you'd praise the Lord like you're thankful. Look at your neighbor and with just a little bit of attitude, tell them you've been asking the wrong question. It's not who am I? It's not who am I? It's who are you, God? Who are you? It was never about Moses. It's never about you. It's always been about him. If you really want to know who you are, it starts with knowing who God is. I'm going to say that one more time, real slow and deep. If you really want to know who you are, if you really want to know your purpose, you really want to know your destiny, you want to know your identity, if you really want to know who you are, you must start with knowing who God is. For you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. You were fashioned after his image and after his likeness. And in him we live, move, and have our being. We are the reflection of our Creator, and the Creator's virtues and his promise are revealed through his creation. If you want to know who you are, you've got to stop asking, who am I? And you've got to start leaning into, who is he? Our true identity is wrapped up in him. Our destiny and our purpose is unlocked in him. Listen, Moses did not become Moses until he encountered the person of God. I don't know if you're tracking with what I'm saying, but listen, everything before the burning bush that happened in Moses' life, Moses did it. And we don't remember a thing about it. Everything up until the encounter with God was, well, he was born into a basket in the Nile. He didn't have any control over that. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, educated as an Egyptian, walks out, kills a dude, then instead of facing the consequences, runs from his problems, hides in the wilderness, bringing disgrace and shame not only to his Hebrew family, but Pharaoh's daughter who raised him. Everything prior to the encounter with God left him empty. Everything prior to the encounter, he was searching and he was lost. Oh, but when he encountered Jesus, when he encountered God, when he encountered his presence, the burning bush, one encounter with God changed everything in his life, and it gave him context into life. It gave Moses purpose. It gave him identity. It gave him direction. And in 80 years, Moses had been asking the wrong question. Who am I? Am I a Hebrew? Am I an Egyptian? Am I a leader? Am I a follower? Who am I? But in one encounter with God, it changes everything. If you're thankful and you believe what I'm saying, I just wish you'd praise him because he's worthy. After the encounter, Moses became a different man, a new person. And you will truly never know yourself or what you're capable of apart from God. Apart from God, you will waste and squander potential. You will overlook what could be. Apart from God, you will never be the man or the woman that you were created and destined to be. And you may do great things in your life. You might acquire great wealth and resources and all of those things, but those are not the things in which define you. Those are not the things that you are remembered by. Your identity and your true purpose is found in him and in him alone. And until you find him, you will never find yourself. With God, all things are possible. In finding God, we find ourselves. In finding God, it puts our life into context. My past, my present, and my future, it all works together for my good because I love the Lord. Am I preaching the word today? When I encounter God, it puts context into life. It makes sense of my mistakes. It makes sense of my past. It makes sense of my present. When I encounter God, it changes everything. And I want you to know this morning that your identity, your true identity, is tied to his. It's tied to his. I'm gonna help you understand what I'm saying. Because he is sovereign, I am chosen. Because he is provider, I am able. Because he is the Almighty Counselor, I have direction. Because he is merciful, I am forgiven. Because he is victorious, I am an overcomer. Because he is Father, I am his child. Because he is Emmanuel, I am never alone. And because he is love, I am accepted. Do you see it? Your identity and your purpose is linked to God's. And when you understand who he is, then you can understand who you are. When you understand that he is love, you understand that you don't have to question, are you forgotten or are you overlooked? If you know who he is, you know who you are. If you know he's Father, Abba Father, Daddy God, you know no matter what man walked out on you, your Father will never leave you. If you know who he is, you will know who you are. If you're thankful, just let's bless the name of the living God in this place. Because you are, I am. My identity is found in you. And as I see him for who he is, I find my rightful place. There was nothing extraordinary in the life of Moses until he encountered God. He was a misfit who didn't belong, a murderer who had disgraced his family. But after encountering God, a man who fumbled with his words, with his very mouth, moved the nations of the world. This is a man who faced his fears and faced Pharaoh with boldness and with authority. This is a man who, after encountering God, delivered God's people through armies and through oceans. They walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. God can do more in your life in 1 second than you can do in a lifetime. And he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and we are victorious in his name. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you like it is. I'm tired of seeing Christians beat down, burned out, defeated, walking around living like life is miserable and life is horrible. And I need you to know who he is so that you can be reminded of who you are. Because I'm telling you, believers, we've got something that the world doesn't have. We've got hope. We've got promise. We've got peace. We've got prosperity in our life that the world does not have. And it's time that we start living like it. It's time we start acting like it. Like it. It's time we start believing it. You ought to be the greatest employee at your job. You ought to be the best teacher at your campus. You ought to be the best leader in your nonprofit. You ought to be the best volunteer this church has ever seen. Why? Because it's who you are, and it is God through you, and God through you is victorious. He is able. He is a conqueror. He is almighty. All that we see in Moses that we admire and that we love, it was all God in him. It was all God in him. The man who would stand boldly before Pharaoh and demand, "Let my people go." That was not Moses. In Exodus 3, you saw Moses. He cowered in fear, stumbling over his words, stuttering. Me? He's like, no, it can't be me, you somebody else. Moses was not bold. He was cowarding away in fear. But as we see him stand before Pharaoh, we see a new man. In fact, we see God through man. As Moses stands before the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army at his back, we watch a man who, without wavering, lifts his hand over the Red Sea and the waters part and they walk through on dry ground. We see confidence, we see faith, we see zeal, and we see boldness, and we know that that is not Moses, because when we read Exodus 3, that is not the Moses that we read. But what we see is God in him, God through him, and God wants to move in our weakness. He wants to move in our deficiency. He wants to be strong where we are weak. I want to point something out. When we think back on the life of Moses, the works that God did through him were so great and so significant that we forget all about his failures. God, through him, outshined all of his mistakes. When we read Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, and it recaps the life of Moses, never once does it call him a murderer. Never once does it call him a sinner. Never once does it call him insecure. Never once does it remind us of who he used to be. Because when God moves through him, the former things pass away. What God wants to do in your life will outshine the mistakes of your past. And if you will allow God to move through you, nobody will remember what you used to do. They will remember what God did through you. If you have your Bible, look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. In my weakness, God's strength is made evident. If you've ever wondered if God is working in your life, if you've ever wondered where God is working in your life, just look at your weaknesses. Look at your deficits. Look at your insecurities. Because I just came this morning to tell somebody, God is at work in your weakness. Look at your neighbor and help me preach and tell them, God is at work in your weakness. Tell them like you mean it. God is at work in your weakness. God shows up in our deficit. It is often our weaknesses that drive us into the loving arms of our God. It is often our need, our deficit. It is often our emptiness that drives us back towards him. But that is where God is working. That is where God is moving. I want to tell you a little story here. It's a little bit embarrassing, but it ends good, so I'll tell it all myself. About a year ago, in October 2016, I remember this. I'll never forget this day, this weekend. October 2016, it was a Saturday night late. I had planned a message that I was looking forward to. We had baptisms the very next morning. And I remember as I looked over my notes that Saturday night, I remember just not being content with the message that I had already written and prepared. I remember reading over it and I wasn't clicking with it. My spirit bears witness to the truth. Something was just missing. And so late at night, beyond midnight, on a Saturday night, I feel compelled to just redo the message. Just redo. And if you public speak, that's probably not a good idea, all right? To like on midnight the night before. So anyway, I remember feeling insecure about this message. I remember feeling underprepared. I remember feeling inadequate. I remember just feeling weak. And I remember before I walked out here on this stage thinking, God, Jesus, take the wheel, because I don't even know what's about to happen. And I remember, as I stood in this very place, being frustrated, feeling like there was a disconnect, feeling like it wasn't coming through. I walked off the stage, changed clothes to get to do the baptismal. We came out, gave an invitation to receive Jesus and to repent of their sins. And I saw hands go up all throughout this room. But there was one young man who raised his hand. He was there with his mother. This is a true story. And she had been praying for her son for most all of his life. He had been running from God, living life on his own, doing things his way, on drugs, substance abuse, you name it. He came to this church one time. He sat right where you're sitting, and he lifted his hand to repent of his sin and receive Jesus as his Lord and as his Savior. 3 days later, that young man passed away unexpectedly. And his mom calls me to reach out and say, thank God that he was there that day and that he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he repented, he gave his life to Jesus, and I know that I'm gonna miss him on earth, but I know I'm gonna see him again one day. And I'm gonna tell you something, that came in the middle of my weakness. That was nothing to do with Tyson. That had nothing to do with my preparation. That had nothing to do with me. And it had everything to do with God. And in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. In your weakness, in your inadequacies, in your insecurities, in your underpreparedness, in your weakness, God will be glorified. He will use you to do the unthinkable. He will move through you, touch lives through you. And if you're thankful, I just wish you'd give him praise that in our weakness, his strength is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it's not about my skill. It's not about your skill. It's not about your talent. It's not about your ability or your knowledge. It is about him. It starts with him and it ends with him. Our identity is wrapped up in him. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is everything in between. And in our weakness, his strength will continue to be made perfect. And if you're wondering, is God working in your life? He is working in your weakness. I'm telling you, the sermons I preach here that I think are good, which are not that many, but the ones that I think are good, and it doesn't really probably help many people, but the ones I think I just did horrible, and I was confused and babbling and stuttering like Moses, and I walk off the stage feeling weak, people come up and be like, that just changed my life. And I'm just like, I don't know what message you were listening to, but I'm glad God can use our weakness. Anybody know what I'm saying? It's all about him and these preachers getting arrogant and puffed up. Y'all, come on, please. It's Jesus, not you. It's always been Jesus. One person agrees with that. It's all right. As the band comes back to help me wind this thing down, some of us have magnified our weaknesses for so long that we no longer believe that we were created for greatness. There are some of you that you have magnified your insecurities for so long that you have settled for mediocre, you have settled for average, you have settled for less than God's best. There are some of you today, as you sit in this place, your identity, your destiny, your purpose, you think is probable, doable, and likely. And I just want to let you know that God never calls you to the probable. He never calls you to the likely to happen. He never calls you to the convenient. When God calls you, he calls you to greatness. When he calls you, he calls you to significance. When he calls you, he asks of you what you cannot give on your own. And that is the true mark that God's calling is on your life. When you look at your calling and you look at your weakness and there's a monumental deficit, that is how you know you are primed and ready for God to do great things in your midst. But there might be some of you today and you've settled for average. You've settled for what you deem possible in your own life. And your identity has just been diluted down to what you think is possible. And I've come to challenge you through the Holy Spirit to take that plan that you think is doable, that plan that you think is realistic, and I'm going to encourage you to just ball it up like this and drop kick it to the left, because God has great plans for you. And we will not allow our weaknesses to cause us to lower our expectations for what God can do through us, because it is not about me and it was never about Moses. In fact, the greater the gap, the greater the glory. The greater the gap between the calling and my weakness, the greater opportunity for him to be magnified in the earth. That's why God uses the unusable. That's why he chooses the overlooked. That's why he loves the unlovable. And that's why he'd probably be a Mountaineer fan if he chose anybody. Because he always roots for the underdog. No, hear me. He roots for the underdog. He does. I just slipped that in. That's probably unspiritual, but oh well. Why does God choose Israel? Because they're overlooked. They're the underdog. There's a great gap between where they are and what they're called to. Why did God choose David to slay a Goliath? Why did he choose a little freckled, curly-headed kid on the backside of the desert? Because there's a gap there. And the greater the weakness, the greater God's strength is made perfect. Why did God use Moses? Not because Moses was great. Not because Moses was strong. Just the opposite. Because God likes the underdog. He likes the underqualified. He likes the weak. He likes the overlooked. He likes the misfit. And that's who he chooses. And that's who he's going to use. So for everybody that's spoken in your life and said you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not educated enough, to all your haters who told you there's a big gap between where you want to be and where you are, you can just remind your haters that God likes the gap, God likes the distance, God likes my weakness, and in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Why don't you stand to your feet all over this place? Father, we love you and we thank you for the power of your word. We give you praise in this place. I pray that you would inspire hearts and lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anybody in this room today and they're not living for you, they're not serving you, they've settled, they've allowed their weaknesses to lower their expectation, and they've settled for what is probable. They've settled for less than your best. I pray that you would shine your light into their heart today and you would draw them to something greater. Lord, we love you and we give you great praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.